It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We start our study in the book of Ephesians today by starting in verse 7 of chapter 3. The Bible says there, "Whereof I was made," and this is Paul the Apostle speaking, "whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." You see, everything that is done today for God is done through his power. If we think we're going to do something for him without his power, without consulting with God, without getting into his word, we're wasting our time. Paul the Apostle knew this. He says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God." The gift of the grace of God is salvation through Jesus Christ. And everything that we have as saved people today, it's made through that salvation that Jesus Christ has given us. Paul says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace." The gift of grace is the knowledge, and is the grace is the salvation. By grace, through faith, are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 6, Paul the Apostle said, "And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." We receive grace. We receive grace when we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we've done that, then we're saved. We're on our way to heaven. Now, verse 7 again says, Paul speaking, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace." Did you know that every person who names Jesus Christ as Savior is actually a minister? And you say, "Well, I don't think I could get up into the pulpit and preach, and I don't think I could teach a Sunday school class." Well, that does not mean you're not a minister. You see, we're all preachers once we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. And what I mean by that is that we've all been given the grace of God. And through that grace of God, we're able to go forth and tell others about Jesus Christ. We become preachers, ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ once we get saved, because we know Jesus as our Savior. Paul the Apostle says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." His power was the power to raise Jesus Christ from the grave. His power was the power of giving to every person who comes to him faith believing, that power of receiving Jesus Christ, his power. When we talk about faith, having faith of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as Savior, he actually gives us that faith when we get into the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God gives us that faith by hearing the Word of God. Faith, coming to Jesus Christ, receiving him as Lord and Savior. That's the saving faith that God gives us when we look at the Word of God and we hear someone speaking the Word of God. And by the way, as a saved person, our ability to grow in faith is really, it comes from God. We grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ by faith when we get into the Word of God. Once again, just as that unsafe person realizes faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that's the same way our faith increases as a saved person. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means we study it, we read it, we hear it spoken, we hear it preached, we hear it taught. And when that takes place in our lives, then we're growing by the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, the only way a person can grow by the grace of Jesus Christ is to accept the grace of the gospel by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, notice verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints." Well, that's something, isn't it? We look at Paul the Apostle, and we sort of put him up on a pedestal because we believe that he wrote over half of the New Testament. But here he's saying that he's less than the least of all saints. And he goes on to say, is this grace given? He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? He thought it was such a great honor to be able to preach and teach the Word of God, to tell the Gentiles that they could now know for certain that they could go to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ. That is the mystery of the gospel, that He will save anyone who comes to Him faith believing. We just talked about faith. And we read other places where Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle." He says, "I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Paul the apostle, if you studied this, you realize that Paul the apostle was a great persecutor of Christians. He actually had Christians killed before his conversion on the road to Damascus. He says, "I am least of all the apostles because I persecuted the church of God." He was a humble man. Why? Because he had given his life to Jesus Christ. Because he had realized that Jesus Christ was all in all. That he was not even worthy to go forth and proclaim the gospel, but Jesus Christ had given him that worthiness through the shed blood that Jesus had shed for him on the cross of Calvary. Jesus was giving him the power to go forth and tell people about him. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, Paul the Apostle again, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And you know, that's another key of serving God, is to be found faithful. Not quitting, but keeping on, keeping on. That doesn't mean that we don't have problems in our lives, and sometimes we just step back and we say, "God, I can't do this." And we step back, and God tells us, he leads us along. He leaves us alone for a while. Once we call it getting out of the will of the Lord. We get away from God. Doesn't mean we've lost our salvation. It simply means that we've become unfaithful to Him. But remember, He's always faithful to us. And He counted us worthy. He counted us worthy to be called the sons of God. Why? Because we trusted Jesus as our Savior. But when we get away from the Lord, He says, "I have not left you. I want you to come back and have fellowship with me." When a person who is saved gets out of the will of the Lord, they're not unsaved. They've just lost the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Father. And that fellowship needs to be restored. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. You're probably very familiar with that verse. Sometimes that verse is used to help an unsaved person realize that by confessing sin that they can be saved. Well, it simply means that they say, "Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I've done wrong. Please forgive me." You see, a Christian needs to pray that prayer as well, not to be saved, but because they are saved, so they can have that completed fellowship that they need with Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle, once again in 1 Timothy chapter 12, or chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the mystery." If you're faithful to the Lord, he's going to use you in his service. He's going to let you represent him in this world faithfully, if you depend upon his power. Verse 13 goes on to say, "Who was before a blasphemer?" Paul the Apostle was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Once again, he persecuted Christians. He had them killed. He had them beaten. Now Paul goes on to say, after all of this, "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Once a person hears the word of God, they are no longer in a position to say, I didn't know. I didn't know this. I was ignorant. I was in unbelief because I'm still in unbelief because I'm ignorant." No, once you hear the word of God, you're no longer ignorant of the word of God. You've heard it and you have a decision to make. And I've said this before, I've dealt with individuals and I've given them the plan of salvation. And I've said, "Won't you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today?" And many times a person looks at me and says, well, I'm not going to make that decision right now. I'm not going to make a decision right now. Well, they've already made a decision. That decision is not to follow Jesus Christ as Savior, but to keep on going the way they're going. And the way they're going is to a devil's hell. Now, God did not create hell for mankind. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Hell was created so that the devil would be punished for what he's done to mankind, for what he's done to this world. One day he's going to be cast into the lake of fire where there is no relief. He will be tormented day and night, and there is no light there. It's darkness. And it's sad that there'll be men and women who are in the lake of fire with the devil. There'll be no relief from the pain. There'll be no relief from the torment that is there. And God does not do that to an individual. The individual who makes the decision not to follow Jesus Christ, they've made a decision to go to hell, to go to the lake of fire. How sad it is that an individual who has been warned of things to come, of the awfulness, of the terribleness of hell and the lake of fire, how awful it is for them to die and go there. And they will, without deciding to choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 1 goes on to say, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul the Apostle received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He admitted he was nothing without Jesus. Verse 16 says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You see the word longsuffering in verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. The word longsuffering. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. What promise? That people can be saved. But is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance, going in an opposite direction. Repentance, going God's way instead of your way, of receiving Jesus Christ, his way instead of your way. 2 Peter 3:15 says, an account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Paul the Apostle got saved the same way that every person in this world can be saved, and that is by turning their lives over to Jesus Christ, by saying, Lord, I trust you to be my Savior. I trust you to take my sin, because I can't get rid of it, but you can. Lord, forgive me. I want to be yours. I want to see you one day and thank you for saving my soul. We can do that today. I've done it. Have you done it? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you need to trust him today. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I'm trusting you as God. You are the Savior. And one day I want to see you in heaven. I'll thank you personally. Save my soul today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.